Hello everyone and welcome. I'm Alan Seal from the Center for Transformational Presence at transformationalpresence.org. And it's really great to be here with you today. More and more people are popping up on the screen here. It's great to see some names I recognize and lots of names that I don't. We have over 100 people registered for today's call. So it's great to have you here. A very special welcome, especially to those of you who are able to join us live and in person for this session today. And there'll be many others listening on the recording, I'm sure. The Center for Transformational Presence provides coaching, training, and development for anyone who's committed to making a difference in the world, whether that is locally or globally or anything in between. Transformational Presence is a way of showing up to life that calls forth greatness in those around you. It empowers breakthroughs, supports shifts in understanding and perception and action. And our work is really grounded in an understanding of life as energy in motion, and provide skills and tools to work with that energy to create significant and lasting results. In essence, maybe if you were just to chunk it all down into one sentence, you could say that we help individuals and organizations make the inner breakthroughs that are necessary for accomplishing big things. So as we have our session today, you'll observe for yourself what feels different or unique about this approach to coaching through today's session. But just a few distinguishing characteristics of this approach that you might kind of be listening for or just to recognize for yourself. First, that this work is based on three fundamental truths of the universe, that first, everything is energy in motion. So all of life, all of leadership, everything that exists is energy in motion. And the second is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed. So in other words, we can't get rid of anything, but we can transform it to something else. And this is especially important when we're working with a fear or a doubt or a resistance. It's not about just telling it to go away or trying to get rid of it, but rather engaging it and recognizing that it might have an important message for us. And when we can listen, we then can transform that energy to another frequency or another vibration, if you will. And the third of those fundamental truths is that the universe is built on relationship. Nothing has meaning all by itself. It only has meaning in relationship to something else, so that whatever there is in our lives, it has meaning because of the meaning that we give to it. So in a sense, we're coaching the relationship here between ourselves and something else, whatever that is. So that's one aspect that kind of makes this work unique. We're also working with energy before form, aligning the being before we step into action. We talk in transformational presence work about action of being, so that there definitely is action, but it comes out of this alignment of being. And when the being is aligned, it's very clear what the action needs to be going forward. This is a very intuitive approach for coaching. It engages the intuitive mind as the larger mind, which means keeping both the client and the coach in a place of discovery rather than in a place of figuring it out. We work with a potential-based approach rather than a problem-solving approach, that we're focusing on what wants to happen with the client or with the situation, with the circumstance. What is the greatest potential that's wanting to unfold here? And then following that energy, rather than looking at something as a problem that needs to be solved. We're recognizing that a problem is, in fact, not something to be solved. It's a message to be listened to. It has something here for us to hear and then see where it wants to go forward from there. So we're listening for what wants to happen. We're listening for shifts in perspective that can then show us the necessary action rather than focusing on action first. In this way, the action is much more likely to be effective, and the results of that action tend to be longer lasting. So just a little sense of how we're going to proceed today on the call. We'll start out with our coaching session, and we have Susan as our client today. And the coaching session will be 25 or 30 minutes, however long kind of that feels in that time range, until it feels like we've kind of wrapped that up. And then we'll open the call up for your observations, your comments, your questions. We'll hear from Susan first about what happened for her. We have observed the session, but what working in this way was like for her, what did that allow for her. And then we'll open it up to everyone for questions and so forth. So let's dive in. Susan, let me also give you a microphone here, and welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Alan. It's a real pleasure. I was very pleased to find and learn about the work that you're doing, and I'm looking forward to some support in that regard. I'll tell you a little bit about what my hope is or concern that I'm hoping to work with today. I really think that I'm not, you know, working at my true potential anymore. I'm a author and a speaker, an educator about accessibility, disability issues, and primarily I teach both other professionals how to work more effectively with people with disabilities, and also I work with people in with disabilities as a therapist and counselor on disability adjustment. And myself, I also have a disability. It's a rather unusual one, but it's in the muscular dystrophy family. So I use a scooter wheelchair and have very limited walking ability, and it does affect other aspects such as my voice and my breathing. But usually that has not stopped me. I've always seen that as a wonderful gift, if you like, in the sense that it gives me a particular viewpoint that many other people don't have, and I like to help create bridges for people to see that those barriers don't necessarily need to be there. That potential is there regardless of what someone might be perceiving. But the interesting thing here is, for me, is I've almost become stuck in my own issue. So I'm finding I'm no longer teaching or practicing what it is I teach, because I had a rather large advancement of my disability a couple of years ago, and I've just found it very difficult to put myself back out there in the circuit, if you like. My confidence level is certainly lessened to a great degree. So I think that's where I'm at for now.
Okay, thank you. You know, I just want to really acknowledge you for the incredible work you've done in the world for people with disabilities, and as well as for all the rest of us in understanding that world. And so I'm meeting you for the first time. Susan and I have never spoken until this moment. So obviously we've never worked before, and I don't know her work, but just from the little bit in her email of what she's told me, and from now, it's clearly you've made a definite mark in the world. So thank you for what you've brought to us. And as you're speaking, when I just keep feeling underneath your words here, the first word that comes to me is tenderness, and I'm just wanting to bring that. Sorry, my boys decided they have to bark at something outside. I just want to bring that energy into the room here of tenderness. And what is tenderness asking you for as we enter into this exploration of maybe just what's getting in the way?
Your dogs are barking and my cats are very interested.
I'm going into a different room.
So in regard to that question in terms of tenderness, that's an interesting question. I tend to think of myself as somebody with gentle strength. It's a bit of an oxymoron, but it seems to work for me, because I truly believe that, you know, from our weakness we gain strength, and then that's been my experience. But in terms of tenderness, I think I have been very tender with myself through this last adjustment, but I suppose the fears of, you know, how far is this going to go is stopping me more than usual. It's never stopped me before, so I shouldn't say usual, but I just find I'm at a point in my life where, for some reason, my state of disability is stopping me from moving forward when, you know, Inside, I know better, but the knowing and the being are not necessarily in alignment for me right now.
If we just invite that fear to be here in the room with us and acknowledge, of course, that So there's some real stuff here. You know, there's a real disability, and there's some significant challenges around that. And so we acknowledge that, and we step on beyond that to ask the fear, what does it really want you to know right now?
I think what feels sort of moving upward for me is that I have to acknowledge it, and that I think where I've acknowledged it in the past, but not in a way that was, I guess, as maybe as tender as I should have or could have. I think I've been probably very hard on myself in the sense of my passion and my drive sort of take over. I think the fear is saying to me, pay attention, you know. I think I give sometimes much more to others than I give to myself.
Mm-hmm. So ask the fear what it needs from you.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that it needs to be top of the list.
What does that mean for fear to be at the top of the list?
I think when I, think about how I normally go, I guess the best way to say it is usually when people meet me, there's a sense that my disability disappears for them because I'm very good at helping them to see past that. And I think sometimes I've become too good at that, and it's difficult for me. I'm not as independent as I used to be because I just cannot be, and my partner now has to do some, daily care that I can no longer do for myself. So that's really hard for me to... I've really struggled with that adjustment, and I'm pretty good about it now, but for some reason that fear is just... I just feel my independence and my abilities are threatening. So the idea of going back out there in the circuit trying to help people see that, I don't feel like I'm being as authentic because I'm not in that place myself. But there's a sense of, there's this other sense in me that says, I say the words, I'm so much more than just my disability. But that's what is perceived or, viewed most often right away.
Mm. It's so interesting as you say, I'm so much more than my disability. And fear asking to be top of the list right now. And so I'm wondering what the gift is that you have to share with others in acknowledging that, and sometimes I am my fear.
Yes, I as I said earlier, that in many ways I have always viewed my disability as a gift because it gives me a particular perspective and sense of compassion and all those wonderful things. You get really creative when you have to learn how to do buttons again. I mean, I can do buttons three different ways. Most people can only do it one. So that's a reality, but the fear, I suppose, is I'm getting a little maybe tired of trying to discover new ways, and I don't know. I think I'm just the fear is just stopping me, and I know that is never been my issue before. So I'm wondering why it is so present for me these days.
And so the fear has asked to be at the top of the list. That was the first thing that it said it needed from you. Is there something else that the fear also wants from you?
Mm. maybe to be a little more cautious. You know, I've always been guilty of taking on way too many commitments and providing support for people sometimes at my own expense. So I've sort of almost, you know, swung the pendulum the other way completely, and now I'm, you know, getting very good at saying no. And I think that that's been a good thing. So I think I'm just having a little trouble finding that midway point that would allow me to move forward with my speaking work.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things that we talk about sometimes in the coach training, and I talk about often with clients when stuff like this comes up, is I call it the 2% rule. So if 2% of that were true, what is that 2% I need to be listening to? And in a sense, that's, we're asking the fear what it needs here, and we're recognizing, okay, so this fear is showing up, and some of it may not be serving you in such a great way, and in other ways, there might be something important there. So we're kind of exploring that, and you've gotten a couple of things that have come up. It's asking to be top of mind. It's asking for you to just be a little more cautious about things. And there may be other things as you continue to have a dialogue with fear going beyond this call. But if we take a step then on back to your issue that you come in with, that I, you know, what's getting in my way of and stepping back out there into the world and really reaching my full potential, then I come back to the fear again and really wonder how this phase that you're in now, this place that you're in now, how is that, how can that become the center of the message that you have to share next with your audience, or the another great gift that you can share of, look, here's where I am, here's what I'm walking through, and here's what I'm learning.
Yeah, certainly. That sounds almost exciting, in the sense that it would be very authentic. Because although I have been disabled all of my life that I can remember, it's never something that feared me. I just felt, well, I did things differently, and then that's as simple as that. But I suppose now, because it's, you know, affecting my breathing, and I use a breathing machine, and there's, you know, things I can't do for myself, it feels that it's gotten, it's a little bit large. And so, yeah, it's juggling the fear of that largeness with, at the same time, underneath reminding and feeling within myself that, you know, it's not all of who I am. So it's finding a way to, I guess, maybe balance that out a little better, or a little more, that would bring me more comfort and confidence, so that I could still move forward. But yes, I do think that acknowledging the fear would be authentic, because I've, you know, I think I've always had that ever-ready kind of persona.
Mm-hmm. I keep hearing the words, the new normal. And, you know, as you are working with so many people in the world who perhaps also have a progressive thing, or even if it's just as they're getting older and dealing with their handicap, even if the handicap itself is not necessarily progressive, but they're getting older and things are changing. There's always a new normal that's coming up, you know, something else now to find your way with. And I'm just wondering here what the great gift is that you have to bring by being able to just say, this is where I am, and this is the new normal now. And what's the new normal for you? And how do we walk this, in a sense, together, you know? And what happens inside of you is this new normal, and just being with what is comes up.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think part of the difficulty for me is the new normal is not new. It's not a new thing to me, because there's always been large periods of adjustment. Say, for example, when I had to you know, give in and start using a walker, and then give in again and start using a wheelchair and scooter, and sort of those stages. And yes, I do definitely try to work with that with, you know, seniors that body breakdown is just a natural phase of the life experience. And, yeah, but, you know, one of the difficulties is you know, I'm in Canada, and in Canada our accessibility accommodations are not nearly as great as they are in the U.S., and most of my work has been primarily in the U.S. because they're more open to that dialogue. So, yeah, that's part of my frustration. But the new normal is, yes, I agree. It's, you know, well, I guess, you know, I have to say, I think I've had the hardest job in the world because I'm trying to sell something that nobody wants.
What's that meaning for you right now at this stage of where you are?
Yeah. Well, interesting, but what just crossed my mind that, you know, I hadn't considered before was, you know, I don't want the sale. Whereas I've always felt, as I say, very grateful to have this experience, and I guess maybe I'm waning on that truth at the moment. But, you know, there's so many more things that I know that I can be doing, and I don't want to be stopped.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what a lot of seniors feel, and, you know, I mean, I know that from my experience working with people with disabilities, that is how it feels, you know. It's like the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So it's trying to bring those two together.
When you just sit in your heart, ask your heart, what does it want going forward?
The first word that comes up to me is compassion. You know, I want to try and be as compassionate to myself as perhaps I am with some other people. I need to adjust my level of self-expectation, I think. My heart is saying, yeah, be a little softer.
Yeah. So ask your heart to show you what an appropriate level of self-expectation is, you know, a level that is compassionate and at the same time is calling you forward. Ask your heart to show you. What is that balance?
Yeah. I guess I would have to say allowing, you know, the support I need to play a role in this as I move forward. You know, I have to accept I just can't do things on my own anymore. That doesn't mean I can't. Yeah, I think my heart is just saying be a little softer and maybe a little more willing to receive the tenderness that maybe I need.
If you had all the support that you needed and were really assured of that, what would that mean for you then in moving on with your potential, however you see that?
Well, you know, I have to say, I think I already do have that support.
Okay.
And I think what I need to get is that I actually do have it. And I just need to feel more comfortable with sort of, you know, driving my life with a co-pilot.
So you just made a really interesting statement. I think I do have it, that support. Can you breathe that in? Just really take that in. I do have the support. What happens inside of you when you really Just take that in.
I feel a little calmer. I currently do a radio show, which I should be doing, or I usually would be doing right now, but my partner, offered to do the radio show for me so that I could have this experience with you. So I guess that's a good example to myself that the support is there.
So if all the support is there that you need, everything can be taken care of, then who do you feel called to be in this world, in the next chapter, if you will?
Yeah. Well, I have a sense that, I've had have this message, like a... I have a sense that I have a really beautiful message to, present to the world in a way that they can receive it, and perhaps, plan for their own less of ability when it comes forward. Generally people only pay attention to disability when it comes to their home, and I think that. Because people are afraid of it, and just as I am right now, which is, never been the case. So, yeah, just as I'm, listening to my own self, I'm thinking the fear is giving me a better insight to perhaps my audience. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, absolutely. And the authenticity of being able to say that, I've been able to go all this time and I've been able to push through or do whatever I needed to do to just go on with my life. And right now I am facing that fear. Suddenly your audience is right there in the palm of your hand because it's like, oh my God, she gets it. She's walking this same journey that I am, not just with the disability, but with the stuff inside that's going with it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because I think that has, I've always understood that people don't necessarily know because they can't experience it, but maybe I think what I have not paid attention to is their fear level. So maybe, this has been a good incubation time, time of incubating that information within myself. Interesting.
There's a level, when we do this kind of work, let's just say transformational work in the world, in whatever way we're doing that, I certainly have found that transparency is a huge piece of what helps us to appear authentic to our audiences and helps make the connection with those that we are serving. When we're willing to be transparent with our own stuff, and where we are in any particular moment, that just opens all kinds of doors of permission for the people that we're serving to walk on into those same challenges that they're having.
Yeah,
kind
of walking your own shoes.
Exactly. And so here, looking at what you're bringing to the call today, around how do I keep moving forward into my full potential, and it sounds like you're starting to discover some ways in which now even the fear can be the gift, or at least the fear can show you here's what we need to be talking about next out there.
Yeah, and I think maybe the fear has been more of a barrier to my effectiveness or my work, whatever. More so than I had considered. So maybe that's a really good thing for me to, become more aware of. Yeah. That's certainly that's a level of awareness that I was missing. So that I think is really important. And, it makes me think a little bit of your disco. trauma situation, choice and opportunity. And in the work that I've done, I've always referred to it as, you know, fact and story fiction, that kind of thing, but not same message, different language, I suppose. So I know that, and I've tried to look at, am I getting hooked into the drama here, you know? Am I stuck in the situation, you know? Where's the choice? So I'm feeling that the choice has been not as great as it has been in the past, as I gave the example of doing buttons. You know, when you lose one method, you get creative and learn another, but eventually you run out. So, and then you need to just give in and allow that support to be there. So then it feels to me that, you know, the opportunity is very different, and I understand that, and it's, you know, it's moving my understanding more into my heart, where I'm, you know, I feel that's where I've had a little gap in this last bout of progression.
So as we wrap up this session, Susan, tell me, what are you taking out of this session?
Well, I'm definitely taking away that the fear that I, you know, have been perceiving as being a block, you know, even though, of course, we all know that saying, you know, feel the fear and do it anyways. But I have been feeling that fear has been my block, but now I'm understanding that fear may be a new path, you know, in the sense of getting that fear can actually be my path back to getting into the circuit or whatever, you know, way you want to say that, because that's what I've felt like. I've felt like, you know, where's the ramp? And maybe I thought that the fear were like the stairs, if you like. So, yeah, definitely seeing that the fear is something important to work with. Let's put it that way.
Great. Thank you so much for just being with us and being so open for this session. You've brought something that, while certainly most of us on this call don't experience from a disability standpoint, still the bigger issue of fear in whatever way that it shows up for all of us in one way or another. And so you've given us a great gift by letting us perhaps all have a little bit of a coaching session here on our own stuff through your story.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for that.
You're very, very helpful. Thank you very much, Helen.
You're welcome. I'd love to just let you sit for a moment with where we've been in the session, and maybe step out of the session then a bit, and if you could speak any about how the way we worked was helpful to you. If you're ready to speak about that now, that's fine, or if you just want a few minutes while we hear from some other people, that's fine too.
Yeah, well, I think I can speak to that in the sense, bringing my heart into it and bringing, you know, more that sense of, other than just in my head. So that was important, I think, in the sense that it gave me a different place to look for an answer that, you know, I knew was already there. So it's maybe a direction, a form of direction that I found very, very helpful.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to leave your mic open because some people may want to direct a question to you as well as we go forward. So let's open to everyone. Observations, comments, questions about what you observe, whether that's to me or to Susan. Just press 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak, and I'll give you a microphone. Who can speak first? Did you observe? We do. What questions do you have? Oh, hands going up. Yes, from Lee, you have the mic.
Alan, hi, Susan. Thank you so much. as Susan was going through her process, I kind of asked myself, you know, similar questions as you were speaking. And
Leah, can you just come a little closer to the microphone? It's hard to hear you.
Sure.
I was
asking myself the same questions as you were asking them to Susan, and also trying to listen at the same time. And, you know, I invited fear into my own life, and it was saying to me, it's time to grow out of it. And then, you know, when I asked the fear, what do you need from Lee, it said, you know, life will be safe, and, you know, acknowledge that life will not be the same because I'm growing out of this, you know, into a new place, a new normal. And I feel like that's really what's been holding me back, too, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Press 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak. When we talked about those three fundamental truths that this work is based on, the second one being that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transformed, Susan really gave us a great opportunity here to look at the fear, that we couldn't just get rid of the fear. It was about, let's listen to the fear, let's talk with it, and let's transform it. Catherine, you have the mic.
Hi. Yeah, what you just said is what I experienced with Susan, confronting her fear and really not avoiding it. Fear is something I habitually avoid or push away. And so this was a special time because I was able not to be afraid of fear, fear, and to look at my fear, and perhaps now I can use it to go on and to go forward. So thank you, Susan. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Catherine. And you, Catherine, you said a really important word when you said confronting the fear. And this is another very important distinction, perhaps, in transformational presence work, because we actually aren't confronting the fear. We're, in fact, inviting it to be here. We are sitting down with it and taking its hand and saying, it's okay, just tell me what you need for me to know. So it's really opening it up for a dialogue rather than a confrontation. There's no defensiveness or offensiveness here as a confrontation energy would imply, but rather an invitation to an open dialogue, and so that the fear, in this case, can feel respected and honored, and realize that, in fact, we are looking at the fear as, I think you have an important message for me to hear. That just shifts the dynamic in an enormous way.
It does, and if I can speak to that for a minute, Alan.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's very true, because I agree that there's energy can only be transformed. I realize the fear is to think I can be without fear in relation to this ability is I would think not possible, and certainly not respectful to the experience of disability. But I suppose so. I definitely agree with that, and I think that you put that very, very well. And I guess I liked what you said about respecting the fear, because you know everyone wants that to go away. So keeping being with the fear is forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Anyone else have a comment or a question or an observation? Or any questions about just transformational presence work, transformational presence coaching? call today. Thank you so much for being with us, everyone. Thank you again, Susan, for being the client today and, again, being so open and willing to just take the walk with us. Just a few words about upcoming opportunities here at the Center for Transformational Presence. There's so many resources on the website, transformationalpresence.org, free resources, audios, e-courses, articles, all kinds of things there, as well as upcoming trainings and workshops. The Transformational Presence Leadership and Coach Training starts again in the autumn. There are several five-day residentials in different parts of the world, as well as the teleclass version will begin in October. And there's a Manifestation Wheel teleclass that will start in July, 8 sessions as well through Entheos Academy. So if any of those things interest you, you can find that information on the website or just send me an email, alanseal@alanseal.com, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. And personal coaching is also, of course, available through the center. So thank you, everyone, for being with us today, and I look forward to you joining us on another call. Thanks again, Susan, and bye for now, everyone.
Thank you, Alan.